Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, Aaron Geek in the city of Duran, etc. Like us at 3, Dynamike at 7, and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, the real reason you are here, he is your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A mascot costume has been stolen. Police are on the lookout for a missing big yellow bird last seen in Northwest. This is a Falcon mascot from Prairie High School. It was stolen last week from the back of Jeremy Keeney's car, parked at the Trader Joe's at 21st Avenue and Gleason. Wow, that's where I shop. There were thieves around there? Now, Jeremy, why don't you tell us about this ahead of time? We might have been able to help you find it. This happened last week. It takes both arms to carry it. So it would have had to have a car to get away with it, or they look pretty conspicuous walking down the street with a red and gold Falcon.
Wait, so the Falcon was in somebody? Why do
you
care about
car? You care about mascots, we know that. At Trader Joe's store at 21st Avenue and Gleason.
Only if they're being pummeled.
The 17-year-old Keeney will have to pay for the costume, which is valued at $3,000. They're hoping that somebody sees it. Now, so he should have told us about this ahead of time.
He'll have to pay for it, even though it was stolen out of his car?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that ain't right.
No, it isn't right.
That's not right at all.
No.
What kind of fascist school is that?
Mm-hmm.
The hell with that school.
The Trader Joe's parking lot.
For Gimmers.
It's a school of the streets. The where was that the other day? Oh, it was my neighborhood where there was some poor bastard in like a dancing cell phone costume standing on the street. Just standing out there like, you know, look at me, I'm retarded. And just like in a huge, wearing like a big foam.
Was he waving a sign about mattresses?
Rectangle. No, he was outside some like
this is a hot market for mattresses for some reason.
It is.
There are more mattress stores in Portland than any place on earth.
When I was working on Coin, we had more mattress commercials than anything else.
What is this? I don't know why. I don't know. Is there some?
They must be successful. There are so many of them everywhere. People wear out mattresses quicker here for some reason.
I guess. Who knows? This is only a number of reasons for that. But I'm trying to remember where I was, though. I was driving on the street, and it just feels so bad for whoever's in there. I look, and it's just some guy dressed as a cell phone. Like, his head isn't even visible. That's the thing.
Well, someday he may work himself up to be a pizza slice.
No. Or just like one of those big dollar bills.
Yeah.
The big foam, like the dollar sign with the S and the two lines through in front of that the cash now place. Mm-hmm. He's dressed as a huge cell phone. His face can't even be seen. But he's really into it, too. Like, where the hell was he?
Well, I probably caught him right when he was coming on duty.
It doesn't really... Well, that's the thing.
How long can you wait before your arm becomes like jelly?
Yes. It's true. Before your legs become rubbery and you can no longer stand upright. And
I mean, he'd be a shriveled up dollar bill lying on the corner by the end of his
suffering from heat prostration. I mean,
even on a dollar bill, how long can you wait?
Try it yourself.
See, I love this topic.
We should send Scotty out dressed as something and see how long he can wait before he passes out. I smell another CBS contest.
The furry guy that we had in, he had some extra costume.
That's a serious costume, though. But you think that
was air conditioned.
I was going to say, yeah, do you think that guy in the dollar bill costume, the company's having that thing like nitrogen cooled? I don't think so.
This is an unair conditioned dollar bill. We'd like you to know that.
Yes. I wonder if you have to sign a release form before you, like on a hot summer day, before you dress up as a giant taco or something in a foam rubber costume on the hottest day of the year, dancing around like a retard downtown, trying to get people to come buy some swill. Good God Almighty. And seriously, how long can you possibly keep it up before they break your spirit and you're sort of limply waving at people as they go by? The guy in the cell phone costume, I guess it doesn't matter where it was, but he was going for it, though. And, like, he's, you know how sometimes in those costumes you can see, you can't see their face, but you can see where they see out of. Like, it's sort of gray mesh, and you can kind of see where they look out at, and there's, like, a blowhole, sort of, like a breathe hole. And, but this, I think they just stuck him inside a plastic, like a piece of foam. I don't really think it was designed to be breathed through. But he's really doing it. He's got both arms out, Jesus Christ style, waggling them back and forth, and I swear to God, he's like hopping back and forth from one foot to another, like really selling it. And I wish I had gone back about an hour later just to see if he was sort of like one arm. If you could just picture a cell phone with legs and just one arm like leaning against the building and breathing all heavily to himself. And then he'd come back later and the cell phone's got both arms leaning against the wall and not even facing the road anymore. And then he'd drive by later and the cell phone is just passed out in the bushes. I don't... Legs up in the air. I don't know why it's so
and
funny.
And they're all bent.
I don't know why it's so hilarious. Oh God! You know what? I don't think we have anymore. Is that call from our friend Aram who was inside the Pikachu? Was it Aram or Nate who was inside the Pikachu suit in the parade that year?
I thought it was Richard Nunn.
No, it wasn't Nunn.
No, it was Aram.
No, Richard Nunn wouldn't tolerate that. It was Aram, a friend of Aram, who at the time was working at the WB, and was inside a Pikachu costume in July. In a parade.
That was so funny.
98 degrees inside there. Hey, I got an email from Richard Nunn the other day, by the way.
Was it lecherous?
Yeah, it really was, actually. He sent me three emails in about 10 minutes.
Is he still in Jacksonville?
I believe he is, yes.
The longer he stays away, the more stories Brad tells me about him.
The more you like him?
Yeah.
The more he stays away from me, the more I enjoy him.
No, that's just a crazy man.
He really is. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a police officer assigned to a Portland high school told investigators he made a stupid spur-of-the-moment decision when he filmed girls at a school dance and basketball game, titling the footage Girls Gone Wild. Officer Ryan Gracham, who now lives in Pasco, resigned after almost 8 years on the force. Last month, the statewide police policy panel voted to recommend that Gracham's police certificate be revoked. Police discovered the misconduct when Gretchen's sergeant asked to see what he thought was Gretchen's copy of a professional Girls Gone Wild video, which typically shows women acting in a sexual nature.
Is that what they call that?
Apparently so. I guess they watch this around the station house. Gretchen accidentally handed over the high school video, which includes zoom-in shots of girls' breasts and crotch areas.
Crotch areas.
It was filmed when he was on duty at Madison High School. He said he was shocked, angry, embarrassed, and remorseful.
You know, there's no actual nudity, though. It's just...
No.
It's just... I wonder... Now, this is... I'm simply wondering this in a legal sense. I wonder if that sort of thing is illegal. In other words, if it's just high school cheerleaders doing what they do, if you were to go with a camera and just...
You are the creepiest thing ever.
I'm not trying to be creepy. I really do wonder...
So you'd like to be a policeman in a girl's school, is what we're saying.
Well, yes,
that... With a secret hidden camera.
That is true. I'm just wondering. These are the things I wonder about. It's like that it's like an irreversible object, irresistible force thing, or whatever the hell that is. Did I ever tell you that Joni and I had this whole idea? Years ago, when she and I first started working, we started doing... Scotty, don't be crude. See, why do you have to reduce everything to the... Are they going commando? Stop it. Don't say things like that. When Joni and I first started working on our film stuff years ago, I didn't remember how this came up, but we were having some discussion at some point, and we were joking about how, this leads me to a whole bunch of other questions, but we were joking about how all the really big money is in porn. That really is where all the money is made and everything. It's either in porn or video games. And I was talking about, and I think we did talk about this in the air, about how you could market to guys like a DVD or a video that was just like no nudity. That was just like chicks kissing. And that was it. Like that was the whole thing. Like you wouldn't, they could be fully clothed. They could be completely and totally clothed. But you could sell like a 55 minute DVD of that, of just like girls kissing. There you go. And then dudes would line up to buy that. And then we had this whole question of whether that was even illegal. Like, was that in fact, did that in fact constitute porn? And like, was it illegal to sell that? And the whole thing. So, which I never really got a satisfactory answer to. So my whole question about this is, like, is that a thing that it would even be illegal to sell? So if you were just some perv, and you go to a high school game, and there's the cheerleaders, and you're just some raincoat guy, and you're just there filming with a handycam and zooming in
on it. There is nothing illegal about it. says Sergeant Brian Schmaltz, the police spokesman.
So it's just really in bad taste.
That's what I'm saying. So it's not illegal, it's just creepy.
All right, excellent. There you go. Well, here's, see, there we go now. Problem solved. One less thing I have to worry about. I can check it off my mental list of things to ponder. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, speaking of creepy, on the max today. Well, things get really bad when a train full of young kids get on and the batteries in my CD player run out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You always have to leave your headphones on so they think that you're listening to something, though.
Well, I did make a mistake by taking them off.
Oh, no.
Here's what happened. Here's
what happened.
Can't
do that.
This even gets worse. Otherwise, there'd be no story if I didn't hear this. So, these kids are first grade, maybe no more than that. There's a whole gaggle of them on there with the teacher screaming at the top of their lungs. And this older fellow comes down, and the teacher is sitting with the youngest ones. He goes, aren't you a pretty little girl? And then he goes, listen to this. It gets even better. So then he says, what kind of a country do we live in when you can't even hug a child? So I'm trying to ignore this. And my stop is the next one.
And how old is he?
Oh, he's like in his 50s. So anyway, so I'm standing next to the door because mine's the next stop. And then he walks up to me and goes, where'd you get all that blonde hair?
Oh, that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
And I ignored him. He goes,
creepy.
You're ignoring me. And then it takes forever for these doors to open.
And you're just a please God let them open.
And so he's standing beside me going, and it is my mistake. Even if your batteries die and whatever you're listening to, do not take off your headphones for any reason.
An invitation.
Mm-hmm.
You should have just pretended to be mute and deaf.
That's what I did.
Sir, you know, it's just totally just sign back at him. That's what you should do.
But he was not to molest anything. Even a newsman.
You'll do.
A newsman was molested today.
You'll do. Bite down on this. Let me replay this whole thing in my head. He's 50-something.
Yeah.
How old is the small girl that he's talking to?
There's a teacher talking with the smallest of children.
So they went first grade?
First grade, yeah.
So they're like, she's like six.
Yeah.
So
he's trying to make small talk with these kids.
Well, and his small talk consists of lamenting the fact that he can't hug the tiny girl.
You're right. What kind of a country do we live in when you can't hug children?
When a stranger can't come up and pick up small girls and, you know, like, grope them.
So there's no response from the teachers.
And so he just walks over to you?
Yes. People always just walk up to me. Listen, I've got to walk several blocks to the max. Every nutcase follows me to the train stop every day. When somebody's having a bad day, when somebody's loopy, when somebody's taking too many drugs, they'll find me within 30 seconds.
How close to you is he standing?
He was like right next to me.
And so are you both in that little middle section waiting for the doors?
Yes.
And so, where did you get all that blonde hair?
Oh, man.
Oh, I'd like me some of that blonde hair. Why don't you give me some of your blonde? And then, like, out comes the knife, you know? That's it.
And then I'm ignoring him. And I'm waiting for the door to open because the train's been stopped for, like, it seems to be 5 minutes.
For an eternity. And the door isn't opening at all.
The door is not open.
Okay, well, this is a perfect time. This is a perfect time to tell my worst bus story ever, which I meant to get to the other day. This happened in San Diego. I meant to tell this because we're always talking about horrible things that happen on the bus. So this was in San Diego, and because we had a rental car, but only for the last couple of days. And so for the first few days, and taking the bus in Southern California sucks anyway.
I was always the only white person on it. And I'd get on with a full newspaper and be lucky if I had a half a page left because you're afraid to say no to somebody because you'll be stabbed or murdered. And the LA Times, it has like 4 sections. And you just start, everyone has a section of the paper. You do not say no. By the time you get up, you get like a half a page with nap for the main company.
Yes, well then, that wasn't the problem I had.
Oh.
I was just going to say that I mean the buses, not the patrons as such, although it's true of many of them as well. I was going to say that they smell and it's hot.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, and you know, the thing about Southern, and it was February, I mean, it's not like it's in the middle of July, it always Every time I ride a bus in Southern California, which is usually when we go there, we'll get a rental car for like 2 days, and then the rest of the kids, it's like, what do you need a rental car for? You're just going to be at the beach. And so, you know, you're not going anywhere. And it, all the buses are always about 94 degrees inside. I don't know why. It could be 62 degrees that, like that one day when it was raining in Chile. Get on the bus, 105. And so you're just sweating away, and just everybody in the bus is fat and stupid, and they've all got 100 kids, much like the buses here. Yeah. And, God, and so... Anyway, so with, so Laura and I get on the bus and we sit down, and as the saying goes, minding our own business, as you always are.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we didn't think out the whole put in your headphones thing, but we're together anyway, and so that wouldn't really have worked. And so but you think there's safety in numbers, like she and I are on the bus together. No one will attempt to talk to us. And there's this morbidly obese woman sitting across the aisle from us and just...
Is this the bucket story again?
No, this is in San Diego. This is no. This is a different woman altogether.
I love these stories.
Different woman
altogether. It makes me feel all the much better.
She's a different woman altogether.
See, and you don't have to take the bus today, and I do.
I don't. I drove, and I'm proud of it.
I'm awaiting this afternoon's adventure.
Oh, I have
just
to start.
Lockdown is... It really makes my day.
It's like a real-life role-playing game, isn't it? You just roll the dice. What am I going to see today? Person soiling themselves, you know?
Also continue.
Anyway, so we're there. So we get on the bus. There's scattered people. Guy, sort of an upscale, kind of white-collar guy in like a sort of a... Like a top coat kind of a thing, like a light trench coat, and then behind him this morbidly obese woman, and then we, for whatever reason, and you look back and you don't know why you've done these things. We sit across from her, across the end. Like, why would you do that?
There's that moment of hesitation. You're like, I shouldn't sit here, but then and then all of a sudden you start to get self-conscious, feel kind of rude.
Totally, and then it's like, I've been standing here forever. She knows that I don't want to sit. Ah, damn, and, you know, and you sit down. So we sit on the bus. And I'm towards the window. Laura's on the outside by the aisle. The woman turns and, like, in the loudest voice you can possibly imagine, just says, "Can I ask you a question about manners?" And Laura is just, and God bless her, she's so nice because she deals with, what is the technical, with crazy people all day long at her job. All day long she deals with people who are crazy, drunk, high, stoned, insane, demented, Alzheimer's, whatever.
And then she gets to come home.
She's, and what fun that is. So it's sort of a dry run. Sort of like swinging two bats in the warm-up circle. She comes home and I'm a ball of sunshine. So she's very good at dealing with people like this. People who are just behaving in entirely inappropriate ways socially. Speaking. So the woman turns and she leans across the aisle and she goes, "Can I ask you a question about manners?" And Laura says, "Why?" And she's perfected that tone that isn't really condescending, but that it is very sort of like, "I am happy to help you." And Laura says, "Well, sure. What's your question?" And I apologize in advance for using this word, because I hate this word. I hate this word because it just makes me feel oogie. It's not a profanity. It is not a slur or epithet. It's a word that I don't use because I find it horrible and repellent. Kind of like crotchless. That's a word I don't care for. The woman said, I wish Laura was here. She could tell the story so much better than me. But the woman says to Laura, she says, "So, if you blow your nose and a booger lands on somebody in front of you..."
Oh, gross!
"Should you tell them..." She says this out loud on the bus.
Were you sitting in front of her?
No, we were sitting across her. She was on the right side. We were sitting on the left side with the aisle between us. And like, why? Why would you ask that? Like, why ask a total stranger? Maybe that's why, because it's a total stranger and you don't need to fear their scorn. And so, Laura, God love her, she keeps her composure and she says, "Well, I guess I would, yes. It seems like the right thing to do." And so the woman, and of course it turns out that it's the guy sitting in front of her who...
Can we speed the story up? This is terrible.
At that moment, who...
Because I feel so much better.
No, and so at that moment, we realize with this stunned horror... that she's referring to this like white collar guy in the sort of like a tan colored trench coat who's sitting in front of her, and that is the guy. We didn't witness the nose blowing, but apparently at some point prior to our entering the bus, she had blown her nose and some of the material had landed on the back of this guy.
I'm done.
And she didn't know. Taking your headphones up won't help. I'm right here. I'm 2 feet away from you. She didn't know whether to tell the guy. And so Lara's like, yes, I guess I would tell. That's the polite thing. Okay, then. And at that moment, the bus is stopping. The guy is getting up. And so this woman approaches him as, like, you know, he stands up to leave. And she stands up and puts her hand on his shoulder. She goes, I'm sorry, I was blowing my nose and I got a booger on you.
Oh, God.
And the guy, look, how do you respond to that? What do you do? And the guy just says, you know, he just sort of like a bunch of open-ended vowel sounds. And she does the whole, hold on, I'll get it off. And meanwhile,
oh,
well, no.
No,
and then it's not that that's disgusting, although
oh,
it is.
Not? Oh,
no,
it's not?
No, it's just, that's not the, I mean, that is the horrible part. But it's also that the bus has stopped. The bus can't go anywhere because the bus driver can't interrupt this. It's clearly a very delicate process. And what is he going to do now? Is he going to get off the bus with some mucus on the back of his jacket that he can't see or get at?
Is this story ever going to end?
No. Once it's pointed out that it's there, he has to let her find it and get it off, right? He can't just walk out into the day, walk off to whatever meeting he is with a big chunk of this woman's nose on the back of his jacket. Can't do that. So we've all got to sit there, and Tim nailed it for what seems like 40 minutes. I mean, it must have been 15 seconds, but it just seemed like a godless eternity. It just seemed like a living, breathing, never-ending slice of hell as we waited for this morbidly obese woman to remove a piece of nose goo from the back of this guy's jacket before heading off into the... And then the bus trip is never the same. Because what do you mean? You immediately want to talk to everybody around you, but God damn, that was a Jesus God. I've never been more horrified. But of course, you are all then obligated to this woman who's clearly a little nutty. You are all obligated to pretend that nothing strange just happened. That you didn't just witness some stomach-churning hunt for mucus on the back of a guy's jacket. So there you go. Is that not the worst bus story ever?
We're taking a break.
Mm. All right. Hey, when we get back, Mike, the TriMet driver wants to talk to us.
Oh,
fantastic. I got a question about manners. Always saying the you don't want to talk about it with them. You don't care what their problem is. All right. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. Able to figure that out.
Do you think other people will?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Oh.
Would you like me to lie?
I guess not.
I can lie. Rick Emerson will... As being married, I've learned to just say whatever it is that women need to hear. So that's the thing. If you want me to tell you what you need to hear, that's fine. I'm willing to do that. So you
okay.
Should decide in yourself whether you want the truth or whether you want me to feed your fantasy.
I know I look naked.
Yes. Let's not even resolve what we're talking about.
Okay.
503-733-2970. 503-733. I mean, maybe that's because I knew in advance that you're not wearing anything of those. But you look naked to me. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, an American senior citizen killed an alleged mugger with his bare hands by breaking his neck.
Fantastic.
This guy's about 7 years old, retired from the military. He put the 20-year-old bad guy in a headlock and snapped his clavicle.
That's genius. That's, you know what's so great about that is it smacks of like way too, like way more than was necessary.
So you know the way these cruise ships pull into these ports is they go shopping for a while. Well, that's what happened.
Oh, and this is a haven for gypsies and thieves, mm-hmm. Right?
And so they're not going to press charges against this guy. He returned to his carnival cruise and went happily on.
Well, yeah. And no, I mean, that's it. Seriously. I'm going to mug you. No, you're not. I'm going to break your neck. I mean, that's what's great about it. It sounds like he could have just beaten the guy or just punched him or whatever. I love the idea that he actually put the guy in a chokehold and snapped his neck.
As it should be.
Fantastic. All right. Rick, the way the Lara deals with socially inept and inappropriate people is to call them Kyle all night. I know that I was there. No, it's true. All right. People, I'm just seeing now I'm seeing now what happens when I tell these stories during the lunch hour. Rick, we are eating right now. Shut your hole about this bus story. I am sick to my stomach, and I have you to blame for it. You are a dick. And then it says, that's, and it's in quotes, by the way. That's it. You are a dick, end quote. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate the fact that you listen to the show. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Anna Nicole Smith's mother has made a last-ditch effort to prevent her daughter's burial in the Bahamas. Virgie Arthur and her legal team are planning to appeal yesterday's court ruling that gives control of her daughter's burial to her infant daughter. Arthur,
they should make the daughter dig it herself.
With a little spoon and a rattle. Arthur told the Today Show she shouldn't be blamed for the delay of Anna Nicole's burial.
The judge is the one that caused this to last all this time. It shouldn't have lasted this long. The ruling says that I'm supposed to be the one to take care of her because there is no one else. And the baby is not old enough to decide for her mother.
After all, she was so good at raising Anna Nicole.
Yeah, seriously, what a bang-up job you did so far, Mom. Drug abuse, drug addiction, drug-related death, most likely. Had a kid at 16, married a fry cook.
Fry cook's unemployed.
Yeah. Well done so far, Miss Hogan.
And you think with all the chicken they eat down there, you can find a job.
Tim, this listener wants to know if you're a natural blonde. Love the old man, it says.
It depends on what's considered to be natural.
I'm going to get me some of that hair. It's 503-733-2. I love the idea of him moving. I mean, it's no knock on... How do I put this?
He couldn't find a child, so... He decided to find somebody who's a little bit taller.
That's what I'm saying.
I wasn't the first choice.
That's what I'm saying, but how...
That hurt a little bit.
How odd.
Well, I'm not... Listen, I went to Catholic school for many, many years, and I was nobody's choice. Nobody.
No.
I finished my schooling empty-handed, without a locker, without a dime.
empty-handed, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just trying to figure the disparate targets of choice. Six-year-old girl, no. Tim Riley, yes. He just moves from one to the other. Well, all right. maybe it's broad tastes, I suppose. How about mattresses? Rick, my wife and I were driving somewhere, and she pointed something out. She noticed that every single mattress store, and as Tim said, there are many of them.
There are.
Has people standing on the street corner waving signs on the end of a stick. I've noticed this before, but she has a really good question. How would that even work for a mattress store? Buying a mattress isn't a real spontaneous process. That is true. You're really never on your way to Rite Aid and then see a guy spinning his stick sign around and think to yourself, you know what, I think I'm going to pick up a Sealy Posturepedic on the way home. Ever since my wife put that thought in my head, it almost makes me angry to pass the mattress store sign holders. But it must work since every single mattress store does it. Maybe you can help explain this. Maybe that's what we ought to be doing to promote this radio station. Maybe we ought to be having a guy dressed as some bizarre creature or thing out there in front of a mattress store. Advertising. Let's see. This is Mike, the TriMet driver. Hello, sir.
Rick, where can I educate you on perverts on buses?
Perhaps a closet of some kind.
What do you want to know about perverts on buses?
Some are on that train.
Yeah. First of all, I don't know that such an open-ended... I don't know. Well, what do you have to offer in the way of knowledge?
Well, I'm just listening to you. And anyway, first of all, it probably wasn't Tim's... Tim's blonde hair that attracted the guy was probably his pretty mouth that did. So.
Okay, that's okay. That's simply creepy.
Okay. So
that'll be fine.
So anyway, on TriMet, the reason the perverts drive
TriMet. Did that really? Are you really
a TriMet drive?
I was just
in the kind of
brain. Really? Did they really let you near passengers?
Let me tell you, you have to keep a sense of humor, or you'll go crazy.
But, including riding.
including riding.
Pass along to the next guy who replaces you.
Yeah, it's exactly true. We just hand off the surface from person to person. But the reason the perverts ride the buses is because in the court orders, when they come down and it says they can't be around children within 500 feet, that doesn't pertain to the buses.
Oh, that's
just public
creepy.
It's public transportation. So they are allowed, because most of them don't have cars, they are allowed to ride the buses. And that's where they get their contact with children, is on the buses.
What's the real for newsmen?
Pardon?
How do newsmen fit into this equation?
Well, like I said, he has, you know, I already told you why Jim was approached, so,
Okay.
He's not guy's midnight fantasy.
You're not digging out of the creepy hole, sir. You're digging yourself in with two hands. This is like that time you called us and you were talking about taking a taser to people who sat in the front row of the bus. And don't think I've forgotten about that.
The first mistake is you never acknowledge anybody in any way on the bus.
We were talking about...
Which I didn't do that.
We were talking about this during the break that Sarah was talking about how the crazy people will always come up to her. They'll latch onto her. And here's the thing is, you are the sacrificial lamb for everybody on the bus, Sarah.
Exactly.
Because you will draw the fire. You're like chaff that they fire out of an airplane to attract, like, rockets. They will come to you. And hear that the other people on the bus simultaneously pity you, but are glad that it's happening to you.
I can see them looking at me out of the side of their eyes. And
looking at the floor.
But
you know,
they're looking to judge me to see whether or not I'm going to say something rude to the crazy person, and then they're sitting there silently judging, but at the same time thanking God that he's not talking to them.
The crazy person can truly judge you, and he knows by personality type that you are the patsy. And that he has scanned, or she has already scanned the bus, and that's why they seat hop, because they pick out the person that will acknowledge them, and as soon as you acknowledge
them... That's not true, though. It's not true. Tim and I have made an Olympic sport out of not acknowledging the crazy person who gets on the bus.
They can still pick you out.
Well, they do.
That's not a theoretical problem. Just because they're crazy, they're not stupid.
All right.
That's one thing people don't...
Let me ask you this. Do you ever have to kick guys off the bus because they spot the five-year-old and don't want to leave it alone?
You'd be shocked that... there are three types of perverts, okay? Let me tell you this. You've got the old pervert who likes the young 16 and 17-year-old girls or boys who sit in the back of the bus, and you can always spot them because they go back there. And
see
then
how
the 16,
it's perverted when men do it, sir?
And then the 16 or 17-year-old boys and girls will get up and move towards the front to get away from them. But anyway... I have these guys on the bus. You'll pick them up at the work release over in Hillsboro. I swear to God, don't laugh, this is serious. There'll be four or five of them sitting on the bus, and they will be talking about specific women they have met who have children and where these other guys can meet them, what bus stop they get on.
Okay, then I have
told people, leave the children alone, get off. People get on my bus, see I'm driving, and they won't get on. They'll wait for the next bus.
It's sort of like a window shopping for pedophiles.
Window shopping for pedophiles. Yeah, exactly
right.
We're
going to end this call now. All right.
My next question, okay, is I am the official TriMet guy. Can I have a sounder? Can you guys make a sounder for me so when I call and have my perfect wisdom?
Hold on. Here's your sounder.
No, I'm serious. Don't be mean to me. Show the love, man.
Don't be mean.
And then he began weeping openly.
Now's the time to buy that monthly pass to ride TriMet.
Fantastic. I want to note, by the way, that he hung up. I did not disconnect his call. He himself.
Remember, he had some business to attend.
I do not believe he is a TriMet rider.
Did you say butt driver?
TriMet driver.
Okay.
I'm just looking at Scotty J's MySpace. Look, there's his wife.
Oh, she's an attractive woman.
She is.
This whole program is just spiraling out of control. Now that I think about it, we don't really have any proof that he worked for TriMet, do we?
No.
I think we've had him on
He could be one of the rafters. He could be the person who tried to molest me this morning.
He could be
calling from an office upstairs for all I know. He's been on like 50 times.
Well, I don't think anyone here trusts anyone.
No, not in this room.
We love meeting people.
He's called us like 50 times and identified himself as the official TriMet driver. I'm not even really sure that we ever bothered to verify that. Sorry. All right, 503.
Maybe you can verify it by giving us bus passes.
That sounds like it'd be legal. Let's call Human Resources and make sure that they know we're doing that. Let's call Human Resources and let them know we'll be taking some payola. It's 503-733-2970. All right. Rick, All your bad-mouthing of Vancouver, says this email, which I'm usually fully behind you on, although not in an everything-but-sex kind of way. At least we can ride the sea train. At least we can ride the sea train without strangers coveting our hair. Sure, we have that one lady who argues with the bus stops, but after she gets on the bus, we're safe. Tim may want to look into Tim may want to look into preventively contacting lice just in case. Yeah, you just carry lice. You just carry some RID with you. Good God, where'd you get all that hair? Did you answer him?
No.
When he asked where you, quote, got your hair, what did he expect you to say? What answer is there to that?
No.
There is no answer. Where did you get all that hair? They were having a sale. I mean, there's no...
I went to the Britney Spears wig store.
Seriously, there's no response to
it.
Good God. Okay, here's Tim Riley.
Well, anyway, back to this, who are we talking about? Oh, Anna Nicole Smith. Know. Well, Larry Burkhead's attorney, Deborah Opry, says she wants this judge, the new one, to enforce the order to bring Daniel Lynn back to Florida.
I'm requesting the Florida courts, Your Honor, to enforce and investigate and carry out these orders because...
Is it for you to ask or for a California?
They did.
Yeah, she tells the judge there's only one thing he must do.
In essence, Judge Snyder is asking you to rubber stamp his order in Florida so that test can be done so Danny Lynn can find her way home.
I don't even know what's going on. So that was the judge for who? Or the lawyer for who?
Larry Burkhead.
All right. And so she's demanding, what is she demanding, the DNA test still?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're just unsure about whether, when are we talking to Jim Roop? We're talking to Jim Roop for like 20 minutes. So we're unsure about whether that's going to happen. Oh, this whole thing is so exhausting. It's so exhausting. And I can't even clarify why we care so much about this. I really can't at all. All right, and yet we do. All right. Jim.
If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
I wonder what happens if I just look this. I wonder if it'll play again. Huh? I'm just seeing if this will play again.
This is riveting.
Yeah, it is. There we go. Thank you. Waiting for the payoff. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Anyway, for the first time, Britney Spears' personal attendant, Kimmy, sits down for an interview with Entertainment Tonight.
To me, at times, being a sister and a best friend, there was always...
demons.
Some dark shadow.
I was going to say darkness. I was going to say darkness when I went demons.
Being completely happy, I think. She did take prescription medications over the years.
Her tortured soul.
She did. I went online, and there was a story saying that she had been rushed to the hospital, and I felt like, okay, she's just gone to the hospital, and everything's going to be okay, and then a new page popped up saying that she had...
Yes? Try to cry.
She passed.
What?
She passed.
I kind of
you
heard it back in my mind that something like this would happen because...
Whoa. You said this was Britney Spears.
No.
This is her assistant, her old assistant, Kimmy. Remember when you watched the show, she wore all the crazy colored hair?
I swear to God, you said Britney's personal assistant.
No, Anna Nicole's.
You thought Britney Spears died.
Well, I thought either Britney was dead and no one told me.
Yeah, because nobody would tell you.
Or
we kept that to ourselves. We kept that until you caught on.
Or that
I think when I said Kimmy, you thought I said Britney.
Yeah, or that this woman was somehow relating some story that hadn't really happened. That she thought Britney was dead.
Miss tortured soul.
Okay.
No, it was, yeah, you said
she committed suicide or not.
Do you remember
their
that
relationship?
Show?
Yeah, I didn't really watch it. I watched a few episodes of it. I didn't really watch it.
Oh, she was still like Kimmy. Yeah, there's a little bit of a thing going on.
Is she hot?
No.
God, they say in unison. That was a resounding no, rejected by both of you.
She finally had her baby. I don't think she committed suicide.
Okay,
finally got her baby. Here's the rest of her doesn't look
like
her.
What does she look like now?
No, let me go back here.
Now, this is Kimmy, Anna Nicole's personal assistant.
Yeah.
Sarah just spilled food. You were the first person to spill food in the studio.
No, you spilled a cup of coffee.
That's
when Delana. Was there.
Delana
that
spilled it.
That is such a lie. I saw you.
I cleaned it up. Delana spilled it.
Yeah.
You're the first person to spill a solid in the studio.
I didn't spill anything on the...
She needs a little makeup.
She's not an attractive woman.
This might be an HDTV.
Oh, I hope not.
She looks a lot better than she did.
What did she look like before? How could she have looked worse?
She had, like, short purple hair. Like, bright purple, she would get, like, all these weird colors, and then they'd start fading out, and she had bad roots, and...
But she needs a bit of a makeover, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't stop looking at her, can you?
No, I can't. Vince? Boy, her nostrils are huge. You could fall right into those.
It's almost like they put black makeup in her nostrils.
Okay, but here's the weird thing. Okay, that first soundbite from her you played.
Yes.
Now, put in your head that this is not... Anna's assistant. Put in your head that this is someone who's Britney's assistant. Go ahead and play that again and listen to this thinking it's Britney's assistant.
Well, I have to go back to that website.
Oh.
Because I was...
It'll take like a year.
I was already ahead.
All right.
Okay, let's go. Let's see. It's going to load. Keep in mind, this is...
She was like a mom to me at times and a sister and a best friend. There was always some dark shadow.
Tortured soul.
Something that would prevent her from ever being... completely happy, I think. She did take prescription medications over the years. She did.
She totally sounds like online. Britney. Or about her.
And there was a story saying that she had been rushed to the hospital, and I felt like...
See, up to this point, I'm going, huh? Britney's assistant.
Just gone to the hospital, and everything was going to be okay. And a new page popped up saying that she...
And see, and who said
there's
that,
no emotion?
The
there's
I
no
kind
emotion
of,
here.
In the back of my mind, something like this happened.
Maybe she's Botoxy and can't cry.
Dana was Anna's entire world. She told me she didn't know who the baby's father was.
She's got a pumpkin head, though. There's nothing you can do about that.
It's enormous.
Yeah, her head's huge.
She was gonna.
She's got a bowling ball of a head.
Charlie Brown head. I don't think she.
Charlie Brown head.
I don't think she committed suicide.
Charlie Brown head. Charlie Brown head sounds like the name of a really terrible, terrible fetish film. All right. Well, anywho, no, she's got a big bowling ball on top of her shoulder. She can't do anything. Bowling ball with a wig. Can't do anything about that. Anywho. Jesus, God. I hate to jump ahead here, but since we were, or at least in my head, we were talking about Britney. You know what I was thinking about last night? I was thinking about that. I'm surprised. I'm amazed, actually. The terrible, predictable media has not done this thing that I was expecting them to do. Are you amazed that they have not been pounding the living hell out of that Britney video where she overdoses? I mean, that ought to be leading every newscast.
What video?
For Every Time, which is a beautiful song, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Where she overdoses in the bathtub and dies. And then they, or I don't know if she dies, but she overdoses and then they load her into an ambulance.
Uh-huh.
And it's a whole, like, chase by the paparazzi and all my life is so hard and whatever. But, yeah, which it's actually a pretty beautiful song. It's that one that kind of sounds like a music box.
Do you remember that song, She's So Lucky?
No.
She's the one, too. That was when she first came out, too.
I'm surprised that the media hasn't been playing the hell out of any of that stuff because, you know, all of these, well, we should have seen it coming. All right.
Courtney Love sent Britney a message.
Do you know a dealer? All right, that can't come up with something funnier later. What is the message?
It's loading right now.
The message is loading.
It's love to Brit.
Let me see if I can find it.
Here it is.
TMZ.
Ah, I love that sound.
Courtney, you want to get a shout out to Britney?
He's gonna be.
Damn, awesome. You buffering.
I know. I need some buffering.
Courtney.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Look
you won't be shaving your head.
Shaving your head. I'm trying to find the. I'm trying to find the Britney's. Well, I guess it's pointless.
I think that was a cool thing she did.
Yeah, that was.
It was a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
It the, what? Oh, that she. All right.
Well, okay. That worked for that.
No, because it's really worth it just for the TMZ sounder. By the way, there's an astounding number of people who also who feel that those sound bites could either be about Britney or Anna. Here's the thing about, do you realize this, speaking of Courtney Love, do you realize that next week Kurt Cobain would have been 40 years old? That'll make you feel old.
Hmm.
Right there. Next Tuesday would have been 40 years old.
I got three more years to go.
Rick. No, that's not funny.
Okay.
That's an email that looked like it was going to be funny, and now it's not. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Here's a real Britney soundbite. They say three times a charm. Britney Spears in rehab for the third time in a week. Star magazine's Jill Dawson says...
I don't think rehab is what they had in mind.
Spears must come to grips with the fact that she has hit rock bottom.
The next step is for her to finally realize that she's hit her lowest point and to start to accept the fact that she needs help from some other people.
Okay. I don't think rehab is really what they had in mind when that phrase was coined. I think that they were thinking of other things, probably.
Maybe.
Let's see here. What have we got? Let's see. I'm reading this. Okay. All right. There's somebody who said that. I'm getting all of this Britney stuff sent to me, but it's all like either TMZ or YouTube stuff. It takes forever to load. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's do like one more. We'll break. We'll come back. Around the corner, we got Jim Roop and Aaron Geek in the City Duran who will be joining us.
Oh, no. Tom Vilsack is withdrawn for his run for the presidency. He says he's unable to raise enough funding to continue.
We would not be able to continue to raise money in the amounts necessary to sustain not just a campaign in Iowa and New Hampshire, but a campaign across this country.
No one knows who this is.
So it is money and only money that is the reason that we are leaving today.
He said he put all the energy he had into this race.
When I ran for governor, it was hard work and effort, and we overcame whatever challenges or barriers we faced. I just couldn't work any harder, couldn't give it any greater effort, and it just wasn't enough.
Vilsack. And who is he again?
He's the governor of Iowa. It's a state full of old staggering white people in silos.
Okay. Well, he was running and now he's not.
People looking for exits, how to get out of the city.
People wandering around as though they were stuck in Vancouver desperately looking for an out. for a highway labeled elsewhere. Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. Let's do one more and then we'll take a break. We'll come back with Aaron Moore from Tim Riley and Jim Roop.
The stepmother of a child who was locked in a storage shed for 3 days with a pillow jacket and bucket was convicted of assault, kidnapping, and criminal mischief. 36-year-old Terry Lynn Mays testifies she allowed her husband to beat the 15-year-old because she was a battered woman herself. Mays testifies she slapped the girl 3 to 4 times in September 2004 and watched her husband Michael inflict greater damage. After 11 years of an abusive marriage, I was scared of Mike, scared of losing my kids. No one understood my life, said Terry. Instead, the couple fled their Aloha home with their two younger children. They were arrested a year later. The girl testified that her mother and father took turns beating her. While her mother yelled, "Hit her, hit her," the girl said her father punched her in the face, whipped her with a belt, smacked her forearm with an axe handle.
What?
Yeah. At one point, the girl said she was held on the floor and threatened with an electric drill. Then her mother told her to go to the shed, and her father locked her in by drilling screws into the door.
Where?
The girl escaped into a Subway restaurant. Well, she reported she was homeless and had been assaulted by a boyfriend. The girl was taken to the hospital. Follow-up interviews with the girl and tips from the public led investigators to her father, who caused her injuries.
Wait, hold on. So this is an Aloha here, Aloha?
Yeah. It's all those old 70s tract homes that are falling apart.
Jesus. So what is the deal? So her dad... So who's been, allegations or are these?
These are allegations.
So we don't, I mean.
He's scheduled for trial in May.
These are allegations that we strongly suspect to be true. And it is also alleged and believed by us to be true that the mother is what, at least a
she's convicted of
able.
Delivery of a controlled substance to a minor, that for smoking marijuana with her two biological children and a neighbor girl.
Boy, you know.
The kids have all been put in foster care. I'm sure that'll do them a lot of good.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, this is turn out models.
With an 84-year-old woman.
Who wonders where they got all that hair? Good God Almighty. Seriously, you know, the wrong people in this world are beaten. That's all I'm going to say. The people who get beaten savagely in this world are never the ones who really have it coming. Just once, I want to see a beating just given to those who so richly have it coming. That'll be our next listener party right there. That'll be our next listener party where we just give a good, solid beating to a couple people who really have it coming. We could charge admission for that. Rick, about that guy, he's not really a bus driver. Oh, this is from Chris. I'm not really a mailman, and you do the show from your car. It never occurred to me that we have no evidence that that guy actually has ever even been on a bus.
He was the aggro guy that called that one day when it was snowing, right?
Remember he called and he was like, oh, he was on the verge of a mental collapse. Like he was giggling maniacally and having a whole lot of weird, insane... Because he called during the snowstorm when Broughton Bishop had slid down the hill and it was that whole hell day, ice storm 2006 or 2007, whatever it was. He called because his bus had crossed a max line and it stopped the max, which had in turn then blocked like 7 blocks worth of traffic. And he called up and he was like, it's me on television. I'm blocking everything. And then he just sort of laughed a lot and hung up.
All the child molesters have been told to walk to their destinations.
Rick, this is from, this is from Kristen at K2. One of our AEs, that is an account executive or salesman, one of our AEs and I were talking about mattresses a couple months ago. This answers the question of why there's so many goddamn mattress shops. And do you want to know? She has the answer, and I believe it.
I do
want to know.
Do you have a guess? She has the answer, and it
gotten
makes...
gotten lazy?
Why would you require a new mattress?
Do they wear out quicker?
Is that true?
I would assume so.
Well, I guess there's more flesh to fabric.
Law of physics?
The law of physics. Yes, the second law of thermodynamics. Fatties go through mattresses a lot faster. I guess there is more skin to mattress contact, but that is not the reason that...
It has to do with friction, doesn't it?
What are we talking about here?
The wearing out of mattresses and the need for new ones.
What do you mean the wearing out of the mattress? Let's clarify. Are you talking about when you live next door to some fat people and there's the low rhythmic slapping noise that sometimes wafts through the walls?
Oh, good Lord.
Anyway, I wasn't talking about that either. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she says, the thing with a mattress is everyone needs one. With the amount of, wait for it, divorces and breakups... There is a constant demand for new mattresses. This makes total sense. This is a great business to be in. Not divorce, although that's a good business too. When you move in with someone, chances are you toss both of your mattresses and buy a new one together. Then when you break up a couple of years later, both parties go out and buy a new mattress each. So they don't have to sleep where they once shared love. True story from one of our advertisers.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because a lot of people are staying single. And a lot of the new condos being built are just for women.
I never really thought about that.
Yeah, if you go into any of these model homes, you'll see episodes of Friends playing over and over and over again on the big screen.
Fantastic. All right, we should take a break. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. We return with Jim Roop from CNN Radio Los Angeles, more of Tim Riley, Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, who will tell us about the new Jim Carrey film, among other things, and so forth. Later on, we'll get to the... whatever it is I've written down. Zang. We'll get to that, whatever that is. It's going to be exciting, I'm sure. 503-733-2970. You stay there. We're back after this.